Hey, Nishmas. Today, Ador, Baz Chaim, Olah HaShom, who's Yartzei tomorrow night. The preparation and the learning should be as chus for the Mashama and for the whole Mishpacha. Last week, we started the Sugya of Simanim. Now, we learned that there were three types of Simanim. Something called a Siman Muvak, which is a unique identification of an object that, according to everyone, works at the biblical level, works in the Daraisa, even to help a woman get married for Isra V'Heter, not just for monetary law. And an example of that was there is a hole near a certain letter in the get, something that is unique, that works according to all Shitas. The second type of simon is a simon that's fairly common, but not that common. In between, simon beinoni, a simon memutza, the two terms that we use for it. So that type of simon works for Hashavas Aveda, but it does not work, we passing it only Darabonin, it does not work for at the Daraisa level, it doesn't work to help a woman get married. And we learned that the Chachamim made a takana that even though it's not really a good testimony, but people would rather have their objects get returned through such a simon because they assume no one else knows it, and it's worth the risk to have their objects returned with such a simon. And then the third type of simon is not really a simon at all, that's a simon garua. That was an inferior simon, which is just to say, the clothes are big, they're small, they're black, they're white. That's not a simon at all, that's valueless, because there's hundreds, dozens of objects like that. So those are the three types of simonim, and we're going to mainly focus on the middle type of simon. Things that are unique. That's easy enough to hear. So we're going to be focusing this week and the next year on these medium type of simonim, which are fairly common, but not that common enough of a identification to make make it work at the Rabbanim. And we'll see tonight. One of them is a name. A name is not unique because someone else could have that name, but it's close enough. If you say that my name is on the coat, you don't have to worry that maybe there's someone else with the same name that lost that coat. That works at the Rabbana level. It will not work for a get. For a get, we need a stronger identification of something that's truly unique. And so the case we'll talk and we'll focus on is this case in Rabbana Haraya. It's a case that happened. Reuven was visiting the diamond, one of the diamond centers in a diamond district, and I was never there, but apparently there's a lot of different benches where different people, there's one person owns that area, and you can rent out the benches to different people that could work there. Stalls, okay. Where they prepare, not where they're selling, where they prepare the diamonds. Here is where they were cutting diamonds. And this person was there for some reason, and he found on an empty bench an uncut diamond. And he immediately, most of the people there were Jews, so he said, "Is this anyone's diamond?" And they all said it wasn't theirs, so he took it home. Now, the diamond had a flaw in it, and the question is that flaw considered a siman, which would, number one, force him to announce it, and number two, force him to return it if someone says, "Yeah, there was a flaw on that diamond, and it's mine." Right now, I just mentioned that, but I'd like to make that clearer. When we're talking about simanim, there's two issues regarding simanim. The first issue regarding simanim is, like we spoke last week, is that, thank you, the first issue is, is once you're holding this object, you're holding an Aveda, and someone comes to you and gives you a simon, is that a good enough simon to be assured that, or at least enough at the Rabbanan level, that it belongs to that person, that you could return it? But that's what we were talking about last week. The other issue is, if you, one of the rules we said in the very beginning of items that you're allowed to keep for yourself is an item that has no simon. You don't have to announce an item that has no simon. So the other issue is, if you find a certain object, we're going to want to know, are there any simanim on it which allow us to keep it? Assuming the person had used before we picked it up. Is this item simanless? Does this item have no simon on it? It's ango simon that you're allowed to keep it. So we're going to deal with both issues tonight, and that's by this diamond is, number one, when he picks up the diamond, can he say, well, that flaw is not a simon, so therefore he could keep it? And number two, even if you say that he has to announce it, or if he did announce it for some reason, he wanted to go to the Mishra Sedin, and he did announce it, does he have to give it back to that person? But when the person says, yes, there was a flaw in the diamond, and that's a proof that it's mine. Right, that's the Shaila. Is this flaw, is that a good enough simon? We should speak out right now, and that's what the Machon Haroi points out, is that the owner of the shop does not acquire it through his chatzah, because the chatzah shein mishtameres. Remember that sugya, that if you, like you're saying, Josh, that if it's on the other side of the counter, so then we say it belongs to one of the customers if you find something in a store. So the Rishonim asked over there, but let the store keeper acquire it through his chatzah. It's in his property, so let him acquire it. To which the Rishonim answered that your chatzah does not work if it's not guarded from other people coming in. And here, since everyone has the right to walk into the store or to these benches in the diamond boards, so if that's the case, the chatzah will not be kona, and the person that finds it will either be finder's keepers, or he'll have the responsibility of finding the correct owner. Right? So we're not going to be dealing with the storekeeper over here. Okay, so we'll start with talking about a similar case, and we'll start talking about money. The Mishnah talks about, we'll probably talk about next time, different formations. If you find coins in different formations, they could constitute simanim if it's made, and you could see that it was put in a certain order, a certain number of coins, that makes a simon. But if you only find one coin, we've spoken about this in the beginning, if you find one bill, one coin, there's no simon on that. Tanur Rabbanan, the Chachamim taught this in a braisa. Hamotzi sella b'shuk, if you find a sella, a coin, in the marketplace, and then his friend bumped into him and said, Shali, I saw you pick up that coin, that's mine. And what's the proof it's mine? Chadoshi, it's brand new, it's just minted. Nironesi, it's a Nironian coin. Rashi learns it has a picture of the Caesar and Nero on it. Or he says, Shamal Tloniu, it's another king's coin. The Mepharshim say why you need both of them. Lo amaklum, that's not a simon. Not only that, even if his name is written on the coin, he says it has my name on it, and you know that that's his, really that person. Lo armor klum, that is not, does not mean anything. Because there's no such thing as a simon for a coin. Why is that? You have your name on it. The armor. So the Gemara explains why is there no simon? Because it says Dilma Fuki Afka. Maybe this person had really spent the coin. He had it once. It's true, he had it once. He put his name on it, and then he bought something with it. And it fell from another person.
Can't that be true of any object?
Okay, so good. That's the kasha that Shonim is. That's the next thing we want to talk about. So this should wipe out all the dinim of simanim, right? There should be no right. This is the end of simanim, because as soon as I say you say you found a coat, so I'll say, okay, look, I used to have a coat like this, also the London Fog, and size 14 with the tear in the bottom, a Unisim and Mubuk, right? But I sold it to someone else, and I'll just get it back this way, right? I can...
Well, it's much more common. The nature of coins that you're going to spend, it's not the nature of coats.
Okay, so that's one of some of the shams there, yes, right? It's that's the Ridva Teres. The Ridva answers that... This is all, I say in your words, it's the nature of coins to spend. So therefore, a simon on a coin is meaningless, because whatever simon you have, you don't keep them. You sold, you bought something with it. But other items, most items are not readily sold. And the Ritva says, except a case that we have in the Gemara, I have printed over here in Chafim on the day, where there's another case we see from the Gemara that if it's something that is ready to be sold, the simon doesn't help on that. Right? If there's a simon on an object that is ready to be sold, the simon doesn't count. The Gemara goes like this. The Gemara brings a braisa that I had brought. Chavia shal yayin. If you find barrels of wine, shal shemen, or barrels of oil, shal tzvua, containers of grain, shal grogros, dried figs, salzetim, olives, hareya shalom, you're allowed to keep them. Because there's no simen on them. They have standard barrels, and there's no simen on the barrel, no simen on the figs. But the Mishnah says, kadei yayin, if you find jugs of wine, kadei shemen, jugs of oil, you have to announce it, because there is a simen. And the Gemara says the simen is that there's some type of seal on the top of it that is a simen. So the Gemara has a few answers. The final answer is like this. Abaye Amar, Abaye says, you could talk, the Mishnah and Bryce are both talking where the containers are sealed. And there is that does make it a simen, l'chora. Below kasha, but there's no kasha. Kind of the Mishnah is talking about where it is a good simen. That's before the storehouses of it, before the items were ready to be sold. It was a long time before the season would start where this type of produce would be sold. So at that point, the seal is a simen. But kan, the Bryce is talking, that's talking after the season began, and things are being sold right and left. So therefore, even if someone comes and says, oh, that's my barrel of wine, and it has a simen with these initials on it, yeah, it's good. You once owned it, but you probably sold it, and someone else might have lost it. So that's why the Bryce says, there's no simen at that point in time. You found a barrel of wine after the storehouses have been opened for sale. He came for a value. You can keep it. So that's the Rebbe's derech. The Rebbe holds that the reason the coin has no simen on it is because whatever simen you have on a coin is worthless because you spent the coin. That's what coins are made to spend. You spent the coin, very possibly, and even though you come and say your name is on it, it's a brand new, you know what date it is, that's whatever simen you have some scratch on it, that's not going to be a simen because you might have owned it one time, but then you bought something with it and the other person lost it. And the same thing will be anything that's going to be sold, anything that's ready for sale, will not be a good, there will be no simen on it that the person could claim it back, because we can say that you didn't really lose it. You once owned it, but you sold it to the other people. This is a readily saleable item, and the buyer lost it, and not you. So that's the Ritva's there. That's the way the Ritva answers the question, that coins are spent, and therefore there's no such thing as a simen on a coin. The Ramban answers differently. The Ramban says, the way Rav Moshe understands it, the way a lot of Mefarshim understand the Ramban says, coins are different, this is also what you were saying. The Ramban says, coins are different because we're not worried about someone's going to lie here and see the lost and found sign and say, oh, that looks like something that I once owned, and even though I don't have it anymore, let me try to get it back. We're not dealing with liars here. We're dealing with someone who might have honestly lost a coin. But his derech was that he wrote his name on all of his coins. That's what he used to do. He wrote his name on all of his coins. And some he spent and some he still has. And he lost a coin of his own. He knows he lost a coin. He came home one day, he was missing a coin. He sees a sign up and says, someone found money. So he goes and says, yeah, it's my coin. It has my name on it. So Rabban says, that is not a valid simon or any other simon that... it's a Nero coin, it's a new coin, because there are many of them around, and just like you lost one, maybe someone else lost one, the same exact thing, that has your name on it also. That's why it's not a good simon. He doesn't say anything that's saleable isn't a simon. Here it's not a simon because someone else might have lost the same object, and therefore the Ramban says, if someone comes and says, there was a crack in the coin, and that is an unusual thing to have a coin that's cracked, so then he could claim it and he'll be able to claim it as is. Because, right, that's the difference between the Ritva and the Ramban. According to the Ritva, even if you have something that's unusual, it's a crack, right? It might not be a simen milvah. He's not saying the crack is on a certain letter. That would make a simen milvah. He's just saying the coin is cracked. That's an unusual circumstance. So the Ramban says, if he says that the coin is cracked, that's a simen, and we're not afraid that he had two that were cracked and one got lost and one he kept, right? That would be unlikely. So if he says that, yeah, the coin had a crack on it, that's a good simon. According to the Ritva, even if he says the coin has a crack on it, that won't help because you both worry anything that is saleable, anything that commonly changes hands, we're afraid that people might be dishonest or being dishonest and say, yeah, it had a crack on it, even though you know you spent it and you don't have it anymore. But that's not a sin.
Even if you knew the serial number.
Oh, so we're going to get to that. So anyway, just in this, we're going to get to everything. So in this machlokas, by the way, so what's the Ramban do with the Raya from Chaf Gimel that the Ritva brought? So he learns this, first of all, Rashi learns differently over there, Tosas learns differently over there, with the barrel, the difference between whether the barrels were open or whether it was a season for selling or not. So the Ritva said from that, what's the difference whether it's a season or not, because if it's a season, so then it's something that's saleable, and then Simonim doesn't make a difference anymore. The Ramban can hold like Tosas. Tosas says, when the season begins, then one manufacturer could have the same barrels at dozens of stores. So what's one storekeeper says, oh, I lost a barrel that has a seal in it. The season began, and they're mass-produced now, and the simon is meaningless because it's not, it doesn't identify everything. Everyone has the same simon at that time. That's so the Ritva can learn the sugi, the Ramban can learn the sugi like Tosas, and there's no proof from the Chaf Gimel, from those barrels, that something saleable is not subject to the rules of Simanim. Now this is a Machlokes Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch Paskins Reis Tamach Reis Yud Gimel. He says that Benedavar Mamurim Shemachzirei Mateya. When do we return a coin to the Simanim Shemaimani, the types of Simanim that we talked about, where they're stacked in a like a tower, the different types of Simanim that constitute a Simanim by coins, because there's more than one. But if you don't have those types of simanim, even though he says it is engraved with the seal of a certain king, my name is written on it, we don't return it to him, because coins are meant to be spent. Maybe he spent it from someone else, right? That's like the Ritva. The Ramah says, Yeshamim, like the Ramban, some say, the Mistak v'madeya, if there's a crack in the coin, Havi Simin. Because the Ramah and the Ramban are not worried that maybe he spent the coin. We're just worried that your name isn't a good Simin because you wrote your name on a lot of coins, and just like you lost one now, the other person also lost one now. The fact that you say there's a name doesn't prove it's yours. It could be someone else lost it when that you had written the name earlier. But if it's a unique simon or a fairly uncommon simon, like a cracked coin, so in that case, the Ramah paskins like the Ramban, that would be a good simon. And according to the Ramah, which is the way we would probably go, we then don't have to worry about saying that there's no simon or something that is commonly sold, because we're not worried about liars. We're just worried that you might make an honest mistake, and if it's something that's common, like a name written on it, that's not a good simon. But we're not worried that you might lie, and even though you sold it, try to claim an object that you had sold that you know is not yours anymore. So that's my focus, the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. So that's talking about whether the crack is a good enough simon to claim. So according to the Ramah, the Ramban, that's a good enough simon to claim. Now, well, you mentioned, why are we worried about cracks? Nowadays, there are serial numbers on bills, so let the serial number be a good simon. Right, that each bill is unique, it has a serial number on it, so we should say that should constitute a simon.
There's the issue of whether or not people look at the serial numbers.
Right. So here we have to deal with two issues. The first issue we have to deal with is, if you find a single bill, a $100 bill, do you have to announce it because maybe someone will have the serial number? And on that, the postman say no, because it's something that people don't recognize. They don't think about what's on it. Right, the Aruch HaShulchan says, point to the Ramah. Right, in his days already, they had shtaros hamalucha, some type of banknotes from the king, and they're all with the same picture. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that he says if you give a simon, you say that was cut in a certain place or some other simon, so that'll work according to the Ramah, because we're not afraid that you spent it and so we're not beta that you're lying. We're fake. We assume that you really had that banknote, the $100 bill in your pocket, and you knew that it was torn in a certain place, and you lost it, and someone found money. So you say, oh, it was a $100 bill that had a tear, so that would work, like the Rima says. And if you, he says, Kolshkin, if you give the serial number, that'll certainly be a simit. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The contemporary Sefer, the Mrs. Hashava, which was written in America, he says, dollars are different. He says, the Aruch HaShulchan must be talking in places where they looked at the serial numbers and they cared about it. Maybe there were less numbers on it and you would get it. But in America, who looks at the serial numbers? So you don't have to, you don't. So, you see, I'm not sure he's arguing with the Aruch HaShulchan in that body, because he's not being so clear, maybe I'm not being clear. As I think he'll agree that if someone comes to you and says, this is the serial number, how can you say that that's not a simon? But what he's saying is, if you find a $100 bill, if there's no scratches on it, there's no tears, there's no nothing that would be a simon on it, you don't have to announce it, because maybe someone will come and give you the serial number, because no one knows the serial number. I will say people do know serial numbers sometimes, like it just happened to me. We went and I got change, and they gave single dollar bills, 10 of them in a row, and they were brand fresh off the press, and yeah, you could see they were stuck together, and yeah, I showed my children, this is 5-3, 5-4, 5-5, 5-6, and you know, someone said they found the dollar. I said, yeah, it's, the last three numbers are 1-5-3. Yeah, you have to memorize the whole thing. Right. So sometimes people do look at the serial numbers. So the Ulam and Mishpat says, since most people don't, when you are the one that found it, when you found that $100 bill or the single dollar bill, you don't have to announce it, because maybe this was an unusual case where someone knows the number. Because, first of all, why should you assume so? And then he says, even if that person that lost it does know the serial number, he probably gave up hope, because he figures, I've lost something that doesn't have a simon on it. No one normally knows the number. So, you know, I figure if I lost a dollar bill, I'm going, oh yeah, I lost a dollar bill. I'm going to think that someone's going to claim it and announce it, because someone might have the number, and people don't announce money. So the owner gives up hope, and therefore there's years, and you don't have to claim it. Now, if you were a good person and you did claim it, and the former owner comes by and says, this is a serial number, so according to the Ulam HaMishpat, you don't have to give it back to him, because he was Miyayish, right? It's, if he proves that he wasn't Miyayish, he says, look, you know, I have two witnesses, and I said right away I lost that coin, I'm going to find it because it has 153 on it, and I'm going, so then you don't have to, then you have to give it back. But if he doesn't prove that he was Miyayish, so then if he doesn't prove that he was not Miyayish, if he does not prove that he did not give up hope, so then he can't come and to you and say, give me back the dollars, this is a serial number, and say, look, I assume that you gave a hope like most normal people would. Now that's really all theoretical, because we learned in the beginning that even when someone does give up hope, and halacha, it's not his anymore, but there is a nimishur sadin, that if you find something that even when the person gave up hope, all those cases that we had in the beginning, you know, when he gave up hope because it's mostly a non-Jewish neighborhood, he gave up because there's no simon on it, but you know who it belongs to now. There's those nimishos that didn't give it back to him. We have that from the Gemara. So over here, I think it would be clear that you don't have to announce it, right? Those nimishos that didn't doesn't require you to announce it. But if there is some way that the person finds out that you found it, like the Gemara's case, you found a coin and he says, oh, that's my coin, it's a serial number. So then even though you might think he was Miyayish, and it could be that he was Miyayish, it is a Lefnei Mishur Sadin to return it back, unless he's rich and you're poor. But then we said that you don't have to Lefnei Mishur Sadin. So just summing up this idea of the serial numbers, right, to see both aspects of Simanim. So number one, if you find a dollar bill, certainly if it has a name on it, that's not a Simanim, because that's the Gemara says, and the way we're going like the Ramos, because you're right, he once owned it, but he spent it. And first of all, besides that, if you find a name on the dollar bill, people don't usually write their name on the dollar bill. They're writing someone else, some other information. Someone says, oh, you need to meet this person at the, you know, in the building over there. What's the name? You write that so you'll remember it. You write it on your hand, you write it on the dollar bill. So I don't think your name at all would be a simon. But So you're saying, oh, John Smith's name is on there because I was supposed to meet him. So that's not a zimun, because it could be that you spent it, or it could be that if the truth is that would work according to the Ramban. We said you write your name on a lot of bills, and even if your name was on this bill, your name that might be not be the one you lost. It could be someone else lost it where you put your name on it also. Right? So let me say that again. If I find this $100 bill and there's a name on it, so number one, I can assume, if I assume it's the owner's name, so then, and he has the habit of writing his names on his money because he wants to do that, so we should assume that he wrote his name on a lot of bills. And even if you announce it and he comes and says, my name is written on that $100 bill, you won't have to give it back to him, because it could be that even though he honestly did lose a $100 bill with his name on it, but he spent other $100 bills with his name on it, and that's no proof, the fact that his name is on it. If he claims he wrote someone else's name on it, but he says, it's not my name, this is some unusual name that he wrote on, because he had to meet that person. Did you find your name with that person on it? I only wrote that name once. So then, according to the Ramban, that could be a good siman, just like a crack in a coin. And according to the Ritva, it wouldn't be, because of the Shulchan Aruch, because they were afraid that he spent it. But according to the Rama and the Ramban, that would be a good siman. It's just, you don't have to assume that that's what happened, because since normally a name is not a siman, and this one time it happened to be a good siman, he'll be Miayish anyway. But once again, if he comes, you wanted to do with the mishras, and you went beyond the call of duty, you found a lot of money, you wanted to find the owner. He says that there's this name on from the person I was supposed to meet, I only wrote it on one bill, that'll be a good sim, and even though he might have been miyayesh, if the mishra sent in, you could give it back to him. If he says that it's my name, and I wrote my name on a lot of bills, and we assume you write your name on a lot of bills, so then you really have no right to give it back to him, because that's not a siman at all. If you want to give it back to him, so you can do this trick we learned a few weeks ago, which is really afi halacha, you can keep it yourself. This is a $100 bill, has no siman on it, you can keep it. You can keep it forever. If you want to, you can write it down, with money we said you can't use it, but you could always write down in your notebook that you found a $100 bill, keep $100 in your account, and then give it to him. If the real owner ever shows up one day, so then you'll give him that other $100. But in the meantime, you might have done Hashavas Aveda if you want to, but you don't really have to. So that's for a name. If someone comes and tells you the serial number, so that's going to be the same thing as if there was this unique name. You don't have to announce it, because you don't have to assume that someone knows the serial number. If someone comes and tells you the serial number, so then once again, if the Pesach Choshen says, if he proves that he was not Miyayesh, and he tells you that Simon, so then you have to give it to him, because he was not Miyayesh, he gave you a Simon Muvok, that's a Simon Muvok already, it's unique, and you have to give it to him. But if he doesn't prove that he was not Miyayish, we assume that he gave up hope when he lost it, and you don't have to give it to him. But once again, if he is able to tell you the serial number, we now know that it's his, and if the Mishra said in, you would give it back to him in that case also. If you find a lottery ticket, so Pesach Choshen says, lottery tickets, people know the number, a lot of people pick their numbers. So if you find a lottery ticket, he says that is something that has a siman. And that is something you have to announce, because a person, even though there might have been more than one person that picked that number, but in Hashavas Aveda you don't have to have a unique siman. It's only to return a get, you have to have something unique. You don't have a siman. We're talking about these medium simanim. 10 people, 20 people pick this number out of a million, that's a good enough siman. So if you found a lottery ticket, that's something that has a siman, and the person who comes and tells you the numbers, that will be a substitution siman to return it to him.
Before they
Well, yeah, you don't say you found a winner. Yeah, if it's they already announced it, so Mamana Shachiv it won.
Everybody's going to come and
right, and if it didn't win, so what are you announcing? If someone's going to come and pick up his losing ticket?
Before the lottery
came in, beforehand, or especially if it's like a yeshiva drawing. Where it's even better, because you can probably find the identity of the owner. You call the yeshiva, say, I found number 562, what's the name on there, and you can return it to him. You don't even have to return it, because it will win anyway. Okay, so that's the story about serial numbers. Going back to, well, before we go back, let's just, I'll give you a few more cases. I have a handout here. Other cases of where there could be a simon in the chepet itself, and that, like we said in the beginning, if someone's name is written on it, we're not talking about dollar bills anymore. It's a one-of-a-kind item. It's a suit that has a name in it, a coat that has a name in it, even though there might be someone else with the same name, but that's good enough, it's a good enough of a simon to return it to the person who says, I lost the coat and has my name on it. We're not afraid of liars. If he found, Mishmar Aved has a case that someone found a ring, and rings generally don't have simon, it's gold. That's not a simon. I mean, that's not enough of a simon to say it's gold. There's plenty of gold. Even if you say it's white gold, there are plenty of rings that have white gold. He says if there's letters, initials in it, that's already a simon, right? Or that's a simon in the Guf HaAveda. If it's something that, and this we spoke about also, the Hashavas HaAveda Kalacha says, if it's something that people don't pay attention to, we find a ring, and there's a little scratch there you found. But people don't examine their rings to see that there's a little hairline scratch in it. So even though it technically has a simon muvuk in it, but that's not a simon because people don't recognize it. People don't notice that there's a little scratch in their ring. If it's something they do notice, then it would be a simon. And in a more common case, he says, in Eretz Yisrael, where they have cartesios, where you go on the bus and you have this card and you stamp out the holes as you go along. So each one has a serial number. So we learned already serial numbers are not a simon, even though it's unique, because people don't notice what serial number they have. And to say the number of holes left, should that be a simon? So, Torah Saveda says it's not a simon because people don't usually notice how many are left. And Mishpat Yatzara, he says it's not a simon because a lot of people might have, you know, there's 20 on the whole item, and you know, a lot of people have 10 left, a lot of people have 11 left, a lot of people have 12 left. So either way you look at it, that would not be something that you could return. Back to our case, if you find a diamond that has a flaw on it, so if it's like a real tiny flaw that no one would notice, so even though you see it in there, you examine it and you saw it, but it's something that people wouldn't notice, so that can't be a simon because no one will notice it. If it's uncut, he says, and this is what the Machon Haraya first in Paskin, if it's an uncut diamond, it's very common to have flaws, and to say, for someone to come and say, yeah, it's my diamond, and the proof is it had a flaw in it. Just like we learned that if I say, if you found a coin and I say the coin had a crack in it, that's a simon. So same thing, say, well, that diamond has a flaw in it. There's a crack in the diamond. Right? But that's not, doesn't work. Because that's what, right? Because the coin that has a crack, that's uncommon. It's uncommon to have a crack in a coin. That constitutes a simon. A flaw in a diamond that's uncut is not uncommon. You know, they have to cut it in a way to get rid of the flaws. So to say just there's a flaw, that would not be a simon. However, if he says there's a flaw in a certain part where he identifies where the flaw was, and I was working on it, and I was going to get rid of that flaw, and I lost that diamond, and I remember where the flaw is, it's, you know, where it bulges, and it's about this big, this thin, and he says, huh, it's not going to happen. But if he can identify the flaw, so that once that makes it almost like, maybe it even makes it like a simon muvuk. That's like finding the hole is in what letter the hole was in the get. That becomes a simon muvuk. And if there would be a way of identifying it, so that would be a real simon. In the case in the Machon Haraya, months had gone by since he had announced it, and no one had come for it. So he advised the person to write down the simonim, write down where the flaw is, and use it yourself. And if anyone ever comes and claims that it's his, so then you could give it back to him at that point. It might have been because you might have found it before Yish and it has a simon on it. So that was the advice he said. He said, you don't, like we said, you don't have to keep telling Yahoo comes because, you know, why waste your time holding it? You can, he's probably not going to come back, so use it, spend it, sell it. And if the person never comes, so then you can return it to him. So this was the first group of simon we've seen, a simon in the goof of the object. So number one, it is something, if you find something that has a simon in the object itself, it makes you have to announce it. But once again, it has to be something that people notice, and also something that's not too common. Right? It has to be something that people notice, not a little teeny scratch. It has to be something that's not too common, like a name that's written on all the dollar bills. And if you have it and announce it and someone comes and claims it, so then there's a difference. If it's something that's common, that simon will be meaningless when he announces it. But if it's something that is unique, but just not normally noticed, like the serial number, so then we said, even though Mikra Medin, you would not have to return it unless he proves he did not give up hope, but there's a Nimish resident to return because he certainly has proven that he's the owner, according to the Ramah and the Ramban, the way we pass it.
Is there an effect here of where it was found? Because if you found an uncut diamond on the street, who knows anything about flaws? But the fact that it was found in the diamond exchange,
right, that
is surrounded by people.
Right, that's part of why they're saying the flaws on the simon. If you found a ring with a flaw on it, so that could be... Then the fact that most rings don't have a noticeable flaw, people wouldn't wear them, I guess. So that could be a flaw here. That's what they're saying. Because it was uncut, that's why it was considered simon-less and to keep it.